you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, yeah. Been on the bike. You've been on the bike this morning.
I have, yeah. I'm still covered in sweat. Nice vision for you.
Lovely, lovely. How many miles this morning then?
It was only 16, but it was like a spin session, so you had to do 5 minutes, like just warm down, and then 5 minutes at a certain watt outage, whatever it is.
Right, okay.
Which is like, I think it's like 110% of your comfortable effort, so it's quite a...
Wow.
5 minutes of that, and then 5 minutes rest, and that was five times, so yeah.
I already felt tired, and now I feel even more tired listening to it.
So what have you been up to?
It's been an all right couple of weeks. Last week was a short week, wasn't it, with Monday being a bank holiday. Mm. And I was at a wedding on Friday as well. So that made it even shorter. So that was nice. 3 day week.
You do with those every week.
Yes. Yeah, that would be nice. Well, yes, good and bad. I mean, it just means you get a bit bored, doesn't it? I'm going to do. But it was. It's nice to have a day out of the wedding. I mean, it's a wedding. Good fun.
Hungover on Saturday?
Not too bad, actually. It was a little bit. But not too bad. We stayed overnight, so a bit of a lie-in and a big breakfast, so that always helps.
Wow. Nice. How's the support person working out?
Good, yeah. I was just going to say, yeah, it's just early days still, really. So it's like, and yeah, it's been a major relief to my sort of brain processing power, you know, because just having to worry about whether stuff's just taking that away because somebody else is checking it for you, that's been a big relief. That's the first thing I noticed, you know, the sort of cognitive effort that involved. Isn't there anymore because I know that somebody's going to be checking the tickets throughout the day.
Mm.
It's created a bit more work short term because a lot of the things that I was doing for customers, she's doing now, the support person, Alana, she's going to be doing them, the majority of them at any rate. And so I had to sort of, you know, put links into the app, put buttons into the app so she could get to these things that only were in my head previously and that sort of thing. So, no, it's been going good. I've set up a few processes as well, you know, things like, okay, fair enough, you're going to be dealing with the support tickets as they come in, but also there are other bits and bobs like writing knowledge-based articles or, you know, things like that. So coming up with a process of how to manage that, you know, basically I want to be able to put stuff on your to-do list, which isn't necessarily a ticket. So we just set up Trello, you know, standard sort of way of doing that, I guess, these days, set up Trello so we can drop tasks in there as well. So it's good, yeah. I'm pleased with the way it's going so far, certainly.
So there's a team of three now then. Have you still got Eddie working with you as well?
No, Eddie's finished now.
Has he? Okay.
Yeah, so Eddie's finished for the time being, and hopefully we'll get Eddie back on again, but for the time being, yeah, it's just the two of us.
Did he manage to get done what you wanted him to do?
He did, yeah. Yeah, there's a bit of stuff for me to do around it before it goes live, but he did get what done, so that was good. Yeah, so I hope to release that in the next week or two, but I've got a big task on my plate at the moment around basically the sort of financial reporting in the app. There is some in there, but it's not the best. So I've had a lot of customers that have wanted an improvement to that. So I've been working hard on that, and that's been going on for a long time, but I need to sort of finish it off basically. So I'm trying to focus on that to get that out there so I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Cool. Sales going well?
Going all right. It's ticking along. I've still not pushing much marketing, but you know, getting at least a couple of demos a week, more than that usually. And, you know, a lot of those could turn into customers. So, yeah, it's ticking along. I wouldn't say it's rocking the boat massively, but it's ticking along nicely.
Very good. I've decided I'm going to try implementing in live chat on the site again. I've been doing my pricing experiment where I put prices up and kind of new customers has slowed down. But then I kind of figured that it's probably the slowdown was actually probably before that. And that kind of coincided with me removing live chat from the website.
Oh, right.
So it'll be interesting to see once I put that back on, whether I get back to doing demos and things like that.
So on the sales site, yeah. So this is for people that are looking, that may want to buy.
And also just support stuff as well within the app. Right. So, you know, when customers are using it or trialing it or whatever. So just they can ask questions quickly and stuff, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. How intrusive was that when you had that set up?
Yeah, it was a bit annoying. Not annoying, because obviously it helped get customers, I guess. But... Mm. Yeah, it can be distracting. That was one of the reasons of getting rid of it, really, was to not have the pop-ups and phone buzzing every now and again. But if it leads to more sales, I think it's a distraction worth having, I think.
Yeah, that's the balance, isn't it? You've got to try and work out what's worthwhile. Yeah, because I had it ages and ages and ages ago. I had it on the sales website, but I turned it off because I just couldn't get anything done. I mean, there wasn't that much, but occasionally something had come through and it just interrupts everything you're working on and everything falls down. So yeah, I don't know. I'm tempted to put it on for the app itself to help support, because like you said, you know, if somebody's in the app and they've got a support query or they've got a problem, they can just jump onto the chat straight away and they're there and then, and you can get it solved rather than that was.
Well, now it doesn't have to go straight to you either. It can go to your support person.
Exactly. So. Yeah. the only worry for me is that she's not full time. So, you know, it would only be while she's available. And would that put people off, you know, seeing a chat widget which says, oh, we're not here at the moment most of the time and only for a few hours a day is it available? I'm not sure about that.
I think most people realize that if they're not there, it kind of goes into an email support system and that people get back to you. It's just a quicker way rather than having to go through a contact form, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
What I need to remember to do is set myself to be offline or make myself only available certain times of the day, because I remember I'd be on a bike ride or something like that and my phone would start buzzing with these messages. That's probably what put me off as anything.
Yeah, that's funny. Yes, that is the issue. Maybe I'll think about that again then, because that would potentially cut things down a little bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're a programmer, right? So you can be clever and not even show run the JavaScript at certain times of the day to pop up the chat box if you didn't want people to have a chat box show up that says we're not there, or perhaps you can do it within the apps themselves.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. I'll have a look at that. What do you use for chat widgets? Have you got a favourite, or is there...
Well, I was using Intercom before. This was another reason for getting rid of it, actually. I was using Intercom, and they have a Bootstrappers program, or they used to, where it was... This is another thing that slightly annoys me, I guess. It was $50 a month, which for a chat widget is quite expensive, I think. But Intercom comes with lots of other stuff, such as knowledge-based documentation that you can automatically send to people based on their queries and things like that. So I think Intercom is designed for much bigger businesses or SaaS products or bigger teams. But I went with it while the Bootstrapper program was, I think I got a year of that, but then that ended. And so you get try and move you up to a more expensive tier, so I just cancelled it.
Right.
But Drift, who are like an Intercom competitor.
That's who I used to.
Yeah, I think they virtually offer exactly the same kind of stuff. But again, they've got a Bootstrappers or a startup program. I think it goes on a similar time for 12 months. So I'll give that a try for 12 months. And when that runs out, I'll see what happens, what their pricing does. I used to use something, Talk2, I think it was called. TAWK.to.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one as well, yeah.
And that's free. And that was perfectly fine for what I wanted to use. So maybe I might go back to that one.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because once you get into something, if you invest time and effort into it, it's reluctant to move sometimes. But
I was always a bit worried about Talk2 as well. I didn't spend any time investigating, you know, when things are free they're obviously making money some other way, whether they were tracking stuff and stuff like that in the background. But dig into that too much, but
worth considering. Yeah, that needs to be looked at. So you had a big day yesterday with Sanity Check.
Yeah, so it kind of relaunched on Product Hunt. So I got some messages from people going, oh, congratulations for launching. I didn't explain the whole situation that, well, it was kind of on there accidentally 2 years ago. So I just said, yeah, thanks. But did a lot better this year. Like last time, I can't remember whether I did it or someone else hunted it or something, but it kind of went on there by accident. So didn't have good images, didn't have a good description, things like that.
Yeah.
Didn't do particularly well. I think it got like 30 or 40 upvotes over its lifetime of being on there. But you can kind of relaunch on Product Hunt if you've got a big new feature or something big and new to talk about. So did it again, and obviously I've got a list of customers now and people who've trialed it. So just spent out an email yesterday morning saying, you know, if you found value from Sanity Check, do you mind giving it an upvote? And did really well. It was the second product of the day yesterday.
Wow, that's good.
And Product Hunt posted about it on their Facebook page.
Brilliant.
So it kind of gets featured for one day. So there's a new list that have appeared on the top of Product Hunt now. So I imagine the kind of it will slow down the number of upvotes it gets. But I don't know whether they do like a weekly email roundup thing, which maybe it might get featured in that, I guess.
Right. Did you get much from it traffic-wise and trial-wise?
Yeah, so there's been lots of trial sign-ups. Lots of people have gone through the first stage of signing up and then not authenticating their site with Search Console.
Right.
Or Sanity Check with Search Console. But there's certainly been a lot more trials that are all set up and running more than usual. So it'd be interesting to see how they go into customers.
Yeah, that sounds good. It's really interesting, yeah.
And the reviews are quite nice as well, I think, from some of the customers and stuff. Although I've asked for feedback, you always ask for feedback and things like that, I think, because some people know what Product Hunt is. A couple of people left quite nice reviews, which was good.
Oh, that's really good. It's always helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'd be good. But again, this is going back to pricing experiments, actually. A friend, Ollie, from the co-working space, I wasn't in the office yesterday, I was at home, and he just Skyped me and said, oh, I see you're on Product Hunt, congratulations. And he was looking through my site and he's like, it says on the pricing page that it's one site for each plan. Is that right? Or is that just a typo? I was like, no, that is right. And he didn't say anything, but I kind of understood that. I was like, he was thinking, well, as you go up the plans, it should perhaps mean more sites.
Right.
And I know I've had that question before. And then I was just listening to Startups for the Rest of Us just now. I think it might be in their latest episode. And they were talking about pricing and trying to introduce innovative pricing models.
Right.
And so I thought perhaps going with the plans, going up in price, but not increasing the number of sites, perhaps that's not the way to go. I should do a bit of investigation on what competitors are doing. And I know like Hrefs, as you go up their plans, you get to add more sites into the tool.
Right. What, so I more
doing bars and things like that.
Right. More features and more sites. Is that the way it works?
I think so, yeah. Not necessarily more features, but well, it's limited in terms of like the number of queries you can run and things like that.
Mm.
And so what I might do is thinking out loud. I've got a number of thoughts, actually. Number one is I might introduce a free tier. Because there's a number of reports that I can run directly just off Search Console API. Mm. And so I don't need to store any data to run those reports. They're just like pre-configured queries and so on. I could include those in the free plan, also like a subset of the data from them. And then I might just get rid of or make the first plan just one site and no limitations in terms of the number of rows that it will archive each day and bump the price up a bit. And then have the medium and larger plans being multi-site plans.
Right.
That's kind of more the model that other SEO tools have gone with.
That's interesting. See, I was thinking planning pricing wise, if you've got the two sort of the two metrics, the sort of, you know, you've got your number of sites and you've also got different features. I've always wondered about how to do pricing that way. It's because people always talk about, you know, simple pricing, whereas you've got three plans or whatever, and each plan gives you slightly more. But like, as you said, you've got two things there. You've got like the number of sites and the number of features. And I've seen that done with like sliders where you have three plans which have the different sets of features, but the price also varies based on the number of sites in your case.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So you like start off with, you know, maybe it's $19 a month for the one website on the starter plan. But if you have two websites, it's $29 a month or, you know,
yeah,
whatever. So it gets a bit more complicated, but I've seen it done.
The other interesting thing I realized, I came up with all this while sitting on the bike, actually, funnily enough, listening to Startups for the Rest of Us. I thought about the chat widget. I thought, oh, I might try that again because that might bring back some sales. But from what I was speaking about a couple of weeks ago or last time we spoke about agencies and perhaps they were the ideal people to go after.
Yeah.
I've kind of had a number of it always seems with the sales at the moment, it's like three steps forward, two steps back, where I'll get three new customers, but then two will cancel, which I know is a big issue of churn, and you want to keep that number as low as possible. The cancellations so far have always been agencies, pretty much. And it's interesting because it's when an agency loses a site or a client, they obviously cancel the subscription for that website. So it's not really through any fault of sanity checks.
Right.
It's through the agency losing a client that they decided to cancel a subscription. Whereas all the bootstrapping or most of the bootstrapping people that have taken out subscription, they never cancel. They keep going because obviously it's their own site.
Mm.
You know, they don't lose their own site as being a customer unless they decide to close a business down or whatever. So there's that thought as well. Just something to ponder.
Mm, you've still got that thing there, haven't you, of which way to go, which is the best. I mean, it sounds like you've got value for both different types of customers, but then that creates even more complexity around how you're going to do the pricing, doesn't it?
Mm, yeah, something to experiment with anyway.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Yeah, I still haven't got any pricing listed on my website yet. People have to contact me. I need to revisit that at some point and work out how. We've got a sort of plan of, based on the number of customers the club has per day, basically based is works out to what their price is, what they pay. But it's not that clear, you know. Once I explain it to them, it is, but it's difficult to write it down in a way that's obvious to people. So I need to do some work on pricing as well.
I've got a couple of weeks because I've had these people sign up from Product Hunt yesterday, and so they may well have checked out the pricing page. So I don't want to go and change anything while they're going through the trial process and hopefully signing some up as customers.
Yeah.
But once this 2 weeks is over, then that'll be the time to kind of implement a change or test something new.
Yeah, cool. That's exciting stuff.
Mm. Indeed. Yeah. You still keeping up with the running?
Yeah, it's not been so, what's the word? Not been so frequent as I would have liked. So I used to do 2-3 times a week until a couple of weeks ago. And then with these bank holidays and stuff, the days that I'd run on, I've not been around or whatever. So it's a bit behind, but I'm hoping to get back into it. It's I've not got a target at the moment, so I need to get a target.
You say this every year after running, and then you never book another race for the rest of the year.
I just don't. I'm always torn between having a target and then not having the time to do the full training. I have to make.
Yeah, but you never do the full training either.
No, I do. Yeah, but the long runs, the long runs that you do take, you know, a couple of hours out of your day, basically.
Mate, you want to be doing 8 or 9 hour bike rides? Well, me.
I'm not that it foolish. Takes your whole... Yeah, I mean, that's it. It takes so much time out of your day that, you know, I just worry about losing that time. But I think if I can get back to 3 days a week, that's fine for me ticking over and just not lose it. That's the main thing, is not go weeks without running, because you start to lose it, don't you?
I was going to say exercise has other benefits other than just training for an event, though, doesn't it?
It does, so, yeah.
Obviously, it's good for your health and stuff like that, but it gives you time to think.
Yeah, it does.
And,
yeah.
Brain cells working in different ways while you're exercising and so on, and thinking of new stuff and listening to podcasts.
Yeah, it is good for that, all that stuff that you say. Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things, I'm burning the candle at both ends a bit these days. That's part of my problem as well. I'm just knackered the whole time, and that feeds into it as well, you know. Just running as well on top of being knackered already, and you're even more knackered, you know. I mean, it's probably a better kind of knackered, because you're actually physically tired rather than just, you know, mentally tired from sitting at a desk all day. So that's
I find cycling, I sleep so much better.
Yeah.
So you might find it paradoxically, is that the right word? I don't know. Mm. Even though you are feeling tired, if you do exercise, you'll actually sleep better that night. And so you'll feel more refreshed the next day, maybe.
Yeah.
And I always find as well, if I do exercise, I definitely drink more water after it. And so I'm sure that helps me feel more energized as well, being more hydrated.
Yeah. I do wonder whether I'm falling foul of, you know, working more hours but being less productive because you're just tired all the time, you know, and a bit burnt out. I do wonder whether I'm suffering from that a bit at the moment, or whether I should just, you know, take everyone's advice and what would probably be my own advice to somebody else and just not work all the time into the evening and all the rest of it.
Oh, definitely. You shouldn't work in the evenings. I don't work evenings anymore at all, hardly.
No.
It's kind of strange. Like I think we spoke about it before. I don't know how I had the energy, but even a concentration when I was younger. Like in 20s and early 30s, but I guess I didn't have kids then.
Yeah,
I didn't do stupid bike rides either.
Yeah. I do try not to, but I tend to find myself falling into it. Just thinking, oh well, I've got these couple of things that I would like to get done, and they're not that hard for me to do. It's just time rather than actually too much thought.
Well, set your alarm for 5 o'clock and put your running shoes on and go out for a run then instead.
Yeah,
you'll benefit more long term, won't you? Doing a run rather than working in the evenings.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And you've got London Marathon coming up next.
No, don't think so. Yeah, maybe I'll have to revisit that and see, redo my schedule in terms of when I do different things. Yep.
Have you read Atomic Habits yet?
Not finished it still. It's on my list. I got about 50-60% of the way through.
Oh, like the most interesting, well, not, it's all quite interesting, but it's interesting from the start, and I think you'd pick up enough from the start to figure out that working in the evening is a bad habit and running is obviously a good habit. So you need to figure out a way to be able to
Well, I've been using that, you know, that lights thing. Who was that by? The lights spreadsheet.
Oh, that was the...
Ultra working,
which is a bad name. I reckon that's a bad name anyway. Like ultra running is like pushing yourself to the limit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know what ultra working is from looking at it, but I kind of feel like it is... the connotations of polyphasic sleeping, working 16 hours a day type thing.
It does sound like that, doesn't it, actually? Yeah, now you mentioned it. But that light spreadsheet that they have, I use that for doing habits, basically. So it's based on, well, I don't think it's based on the book Atomic Habits, but it's similar sort of philosophy where you basically write down a list of things that you want to do, and then you check them off every day as whether you did them. That's the simplest level. So I've got things in there like, you know, I've been for a run in the last 3 days. And so as long as I have, then it's yes. But as soon as I miss a run, then it's a no. And then you've got automatically sort of scores you.
I know the app you need to get. And I might have told you about this before. Yeah, it's called Streaks. Justin Jackson's tweeted about it quite a lot.
Right.
And it's similar. So you add the habits that you want to do or not do. And then you can set a reminder. So I think at 6 o'clock, mine will come in. And you can then say yes, whether you've done it or not. Or you can do that at any time of the day, whether you've done it or not. Mm. I'll send you some screenshots of it to show you how it's useful. What's good, though, is then it tracks it on a calendar. So you get a little tick on the calendar as to whether you do it all day, each day.
Yeah.
And then it shows you some stats as well. So it'll say over the last 30 days, you're at a 50% success rate or a 60% success rate. And so for exercise, for example, you know, if you're hitting 50%, you know, you can figure out your exercising every other day. Whereas if it starts to drop below 50%, you think, well, I need to put a bit more effort into this. Same with alcohol. So I track whether I drink alcohol each day or not. I like to say I'd aim for like 75% of not drinking, but it's not that. It's more like 60, between 50 and 60. But yeah. I know if it drops below 50%, I'm in trouble and I need to curtail my alcohol drinking. But I've added more in, like drink 2 bottles of water a day, so on. But I'll send you over the screenshot. It's good.
Yeah, I'll have a look at that. Yeah.
I think the problem with that what's it called, lights thing, is it's a spreadsheet, isn't it, that you've got to remember to open and actually look at.
I quite like that about it, actually. I know that's
because it's out of sight, out of mind.
That's a dodgy thing. No, but it's one of my tabs that's always open, so I just always just go to it and then tick stuff off. Because the other thing is getting away from the phone, isn't it? So if you've got apps that you're doing everything, that's the same similar problem. You're on your phone and you just see your emails got, well, I've turned all my notifications off on emails and stuff, but you think, oh, I'll just check my email. It's difficult sometimes. But no, I'll have a look at that. If that does all that, then that sounds like...
You have to pay for it. There's no trial, I think. But it's only about £3.49 or something like that. Isn't
it? Cool.
Price of a coffee.
Yeah. What coffee do you drink?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't bought a cup for ages, to be honest, drink tea. But...
Cool. So what else have you got going on? Anything?
Oh, no, not much really. But Peppa Pig World. So,
oh, right.
It's a funny story, actually. So I was measuring Charlie and Maggie to see if they were under a meter, because you get them for free if you're under a meter.
Right.
And the good news is they both are. So I said to Isabel, oh, you'll have to pay there, Isabel, because you're over a meter. So you better count out your pocket money. And she started saying, without even thinking about it, I'm not wasting my pocket money on Peppa Pig World. But she stopped when just after she said wasting. We all knew what she was going to say.
Yeah.
And so me and Sophie were like, oh, right. So it's okay for Mummy and Daddy to waste their money on Peppa Pig World, but you're not willing to waste your own money on it. Yeah.
She's not daft.
No, it's so funny the way she was going to say it, though. But then she caught herself halfway through. But yeah, so Mummy and Daddy have to waste our money on Peppa Pig World for her.
That's right, yeah. That's what Mummy and Daddy
I did take the joke a step too far and say, well, you can't go then. And she didn't see the funny side of that and started crying.
Oh, dear.
Bad Daddy.
Daddy ruined it. Oh, that's good. Yeah, it's nice when you go there with kids, that sort of thing. They're like that.
We went
last summer, actually, with my brother was over with his son. One really wants to go. He's really into Peppa Pig.
What, your brother is?
No, yeah. My brother's son. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
But we went. We were mob-handed. There were more adults than kids. There were like 3 kids, 5 adults. it was quite funny, traipsing around. But no, it was a good day out.
The other like part of the park is quite good as well, isn't it? Because it's not just Peppa Pig World. There's all the other rides to go on as well. Pretty good.
Yeah. So Lois and a cousin were more into that side of things, so we had to make sure we did both. But yeah, it was good. Good fun.
Yeah. Quite. This is a bit of a funny story as well. We were out for a meal somewhere with some friends down in Bude, and Isabel was there, and she was with one of her friends, just chattering away. And she said, "Oh yeah, we're going to Peppa Pig World." So Betsy, I think her name is. It's like, well, Betsy, the good news is, because I've got cancer, I can jump all the queues. And so it's quite funny her actually pulling out like a highlight of her having to go through all this treatment and stuff.
That's funny. Nice. Yeah.
It's just the way she said it all proudly.
Yeah.
We get to jump all the queues.
Classic. That's funny.
But yeah, that's all coming to an end soon, hopefully in August. That's when Isabel finishes her treatment. So.
Oh, excellent. That'll be good.
Yeah, we've got an end of treatment meeting with her main consultant who we've only ever met once because he's based in Bristol in a week or so. So find out a bit more about what end of treatment is all about and stuff like that. So.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, that'd be good to... Does that mean no more hospital visits, no more sort of rushing off if she gets a temperature or anything like that?
It should mean, I think, no more rushing off if she gets a temperature. We're at the moment, we're on 2 to 3 month checkups, but when she finishes her chemo, then we go to monthly checkups for 3 months, and then they slowly kind of taper down after that. Mm. So yeah, but I guess that's what the end of treatment meeting is all about, to find out what that entails. But yeah, it's crazy. It was May the 19th she was diagnosed, so it's just over 2 years now.
Wow.
But flown by.
Blimey. And she's doing well now, though.
Yeah, still doing all good as far as we know.
Yeah. Great. Fantastic stuff.
Yep.
Right then, well, I haven't got anything else, unfortunately. I've been ploughing along as usual. But I'll have a look at that Streaks app. I'm tempted to give that a go.
Yeah, try it. We can send each other screenshots at the end of each week to see how our drinking and exercise percentages are doing.
I'm not so bad on the drinking, just a couple of blitzes. Darts night on Tuesday is always a bit of a bad night for the alcohol, but other than that, I'm not too bad, I don't think.
See, I'd like to say that too. Like, I try to only drink perhaps once during a week when there's something good on telly, and then once at the weekend, but Streaks doesn't seem to agree with that.
Streaks never lies.
At least I'm not lying to the app anyway.
Yeah, or so you say.
Yeah. Cool.
All right then, well, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
And I'll speak to you, next week or the week after.
Nice one. All right. Cheers, Martin.
Cheers. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.